From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, starter from news, news from across the country, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Omnibus law government house to delay discussions on labor issues. Indonesia to conduct COVID-19 drug trials at 22 hospitals. Now the news in details. The Indonesian government and the House of Representatives have agreed to delay deliberations on labor issues covered by the omnibus law on job creation. As quoted by Antaranus Agency, President Joko Widodo stated on Friday that the agreement follows the government's request to the House to delay discussions. President said in a teleconference that the government had conveyed its request to delay discussions on labor issues on Thursday to the House of Representatives DPR, and he has heard that the Speaker of the DPR has told the public that the deliberation on the labor cluster in the job creation bill has been postponed, in line with the wishes of the government. Indonesia is now ready to test 4 kinds of drugs that could be potentially used for treating the novel coronavirus disease in 22 hospitals as part of the World Health Organization Solidarity Trial. More than 100 countries are participating in the Solidarity Trial, which involves clinical testing of 4 antiviral medications provided by WHO, remdesivir, lopinavir or ritonavir, a combined compound of lopinavir or ritonavir, and interferon beta 1a, as well as chloroquine or hydroxychloroquine. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Professor Abdul Qadir, acting head of research and development agency at the Ministry of Health, said in a statement issued on Friday that Indonesia is the 6th country to start the solidarity trial study, and the ministry hoping to fasten the discovery of drugs to fight COVID-19. Furthermore, the ministry head of research center Irmansyah said more hospitals in Indonesia will get involved in the program in the near future. University of Indonesia's Nursing School is running a COVID-19 crisis center to provide consultations and counseling services to people and medical workers in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic. The counseling team includes lecturers at the nursing schools and experienced nurses. Escorted by Antaranus Agency, Dean of the University of Indonesia Nursing School, Agus Setiawan, in a statement on Friday stated, "The school established the crisis center when the COVID-19 outbreak was declared a pandemic." Setiawan revealed that the university created a special team to educate people on COVID-19 transmission, preventions, and symptoms, along with issues around mental health during a pandemic. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The United Nations on Friday launched a global push to speed up productions of vaccine for the new coronavirus, as U.S. President Donald Trump came under fire for suggesting injecting patients with disinfectant. As quoted by AFP.com, the pandemic has upended life around the planet as nations try to stop the spread of the disease that so far claimed more than 190,000 lives, infected nearly 3 million people, and hammered the global economy. Across the globe, more than 4 million people are still under some form of lockdown or stay-at-home order, even as government begins easing restrictions, waiving the risk of more infections against growing economic fallout. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres said defeating the pandemic will now require the biggest health efforts ever seen, as the United Nations joined forces with world leaders and the private sector to develop and distribute a vaccine for COVID-19. the disease caused by the virus. Muslims across the world began marking the holy month of Ramadan under unprecedented coronavirus lockdowns on Friday as the U.S. added another $500 billion to an economic support package and Europe groped towards its own huge rescue plan. Ramadan spirits have been dampened by movement restrictions on hundreds of millions of Muslims from Southeast Asia to the Middle East and Africa, with bans on prayers in mosques and large gatherings of families and friends to break the daily fast, a centerpiece of the month. But despite the coronavirus threat, some clerics and conservatives in many countries, including Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim-majority nation, have pushed back against social distancing rules, refusing to stop gatherings in mosques. China is in the throes of a multi-billion-dollar splurge on new football stadium, ramping up ambitions to be a superpower in the sport and a host of a World Cup as early as 2030. As quoted by AFP.com, the building spree is taking place despite the coronavirus pandemic, which has brought much of the world to a standstill, ravaging economies and putting live sports on hold. But with the outbreak receding in China, where it emerged in December, Chinese Super League champion Guangzhou Evergrande last week began constructions on their 12 billion yuan or $1.7 billion new home. With a capacity of 100,000, the lotus flower shaped stadium will form as a time Trump Barcelona's Camp Nou, which is set for expansion as the world's biggest football arena once it is completed by the end of 2022. European Union's chief negotiator Michael Barnier has said the progress made in post-Brexit trade talks between the UK and European Union has been disappointing. As quoted by BBC.com, the European Union's chief negotiator said, "Genuine progress and a decision on whether to extend the transition period were both needed by June." The UK said limited progress had been made and talks needed to move forward in a constructive fashion. The two sides will hold two further rounds of talks before the end of the transition period in December. Barnier said a joint decision would be taken on June 30th about whether to extend the transition period, but the UK's government has already said it will refuse to extend it beyond December, even if the European Union requested a delay. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Thank you for listening. Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with news from across the country. The first news comes from Duga Regency's Papua province. Vessel transporting goods, especially basic food, fuel, oil, and building materials, have now been allowed to enter the area of Duga Regency. The policy was stated in a circular from the region of Duga dated on Tuesday concerning restrictions on entry and exit of people and passenger ships. Duga Regent Yairus Gwijangge explained the extension of the closures of passenger ships and the limitation of time for community activities was an effort to prevent the spread of COVID-19 in Duga. The number of corona infected in the Papua province region is increasing and has been spread in several districts. The next news comes from Situbondo Regency, East Java. The COVID-19 Handling Task Force in Situbondo, East Java established a public or soup kitchen to help the poor who are economically affected by the new type of coronavirus or COVID-19 pandemic. Situbondo Regent Dadang Wijarto on Wednesday explained, "This public kitchen is a means to find out the extent of the economic impact of the corona outbreak on the poor and vulnerable." The region said as many as 1,000 packets of rice that were processed in the public kitchen would be distributed through house to house, including to residents who move around the city, such as pedicab drivers, parking attendants, and traders in the market. He explained if the result of the assessment proved that the package of rice is very beneficial to the affected poor, then the public kitchen will be operated every day. But if it is not really needed, then the provision of packaged rice will be done 3 times a week. The latest news comes from Surabaya, East Java. Not only employees who play a role in the activities called Care for East Java unite against COVID-19 in Surabaya last Tuesday. Inmates of the Correctional Institution Class 1 Surabaya distributed 1,500 free standard medical masks of their products to the public. The free mask distributing actions was carried out on Jalan Arteri Baru Porong. Chief Warden Tony Nenggolan and several inmates distributed masks to every passers-by or road users. Tony said the quality of the masks produced by the inmates were not inferior to those made by professional manufacturers. In a day, they can produce up to 300 masks. That was news from across Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Voice of Indonesia.
We begin today in history on April 25, 1971, about anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. Large-scale demonstration against the Vietnam War took place in Washington, USA on April 25, 1971. The demonstration, attended by around 200 people, was one of the major reactions shown by the US people to the war policies taken by their government in Vietnam. In the Vietnam War that began in 1964, the US sent 500,000 troops, and tens of thousands of them were killed or injured. In crass protests and internal pressure and successive losses suffered by U.S. troops in Vietnam, eventually forced the U.S. to withdraw its troops from Vietnam in 1975. Next, we switch to the event on April 25, 1980, about the failure of the U.S. invasion to Iran. On April 25, 1980, the United States, using several helicopters and airplanes, attempted to invade Iran. The main goal was to rescue their spies taken hostage in the U.S. Embassy building in Tehran. After the overthrow of the U.S.-backed Shah Pahlavi regime, the country always tried to destroy the newly established Islamic Republic of Iran. The U.S. used its embassy in Iran as a center for information and espionage activities. The students who defended the Islamic Revolution then occupied the embassy and took their employees hostage. The US government, with a variety of major military and intelligence planning, and used the most sophisticated military equipment, devised the hostage release strategy. However, unexpectedly, nearing the start of the military operation, a typhoon struck the desert around Tabas City, which was used as a base for U.S. troops. A number of planes collided with one another and were destroyed in flames, and several U.S. soldiers were killed. The rest immediately fled from Iranian territory. We end today in history with World Malaria Day. World Malaria Day is commemorated every April 25 throughout the world. This date was chosen in coinciding with the date of the signing of the Abuja Declaration of April 25, 2001, done by 44 heads of countries endemic to malaria. The World Malaria Day was agreed at the World Health Assembly on May 23, 2007 in Geneva, Switzerland, which was attended by 192 member countries of the World Health Organization, or WHO. The commemoration of World Malaria Day in Indonesia is intended to evaluate the policy of malaria prevention and control programs, as well as a momentum to gather strength and resources in a bid to realize a malaria-free Indonesia in 2030. Malaria is one of the most dangerous diseases in the world. And listener, that was today in history.
Saat menjelang hari-hari bahagiamu, aku memilih untuk diam dalam sepiku. Saat mereka tertawa di atas pedihku tentang cintaku yang telah pergi tinggalkanku. Aku tak peduli, sungguh tak peduli. Inilah jalan hidupku. Ini aku, kau genggam hatiku, simpan di dalam lubuk hatimu. Tak tersisa untuk diriku, habis semua rasa di dada. Selama tinggal kisah tak berujung, kini ku kan berhenti berharap. Perpisahan kali ini untukku akan menjadi kisah sedih yang tak berujung.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that will present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with My Indonesia, entitling Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy prepares mitigation steps amid pandemic. The Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy has prepared strategic steps for the tourism sector and creative economy during the COVID-19 emergency response period. Minister of Tourism and Creative Economy Wisnu Tama Kusubandyo, in a statement in Jakarta on Wednesday, said the government divided the handling of COVID-19 into three stages, namely the emergency response, recovery, and normalization. In the current COVID-19 emergency response period, the government has reallocated the budget and implemented special programs. The program that has been rolled out includes the provisions of accommodation, transportation, and consumption facilities for medical personnel and support staff for the reference hospital for handling COVID-19, all in accordance with the recommendation of the Task Force for Handling Acceleration in COVID-19. To date, there are more than 2,000 medical staff of workers in Jakarta who have been facilitated in collaboration with the hotels and transportation business. This cooperation is also a form of support from the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy for these sectors so that they can continue to employ their employees. The ministry independently also rolled out programs to empower micro, small and medium enterprises in the tourism sectors and the creative economy, among them through the national campaign of Gerakan Masker Kain, Gerakan Lauk Siap Saji, and Gerakan Satu Dalam Kopi, which is aims to move the economy in the period of handling the impact of COVID-19. Gerakan Masker Kain targets to procure 1 million fabric masks nationwide. In this program, the ministry involves micro and small and medium enterprises in the creative economy sector to participate, so they can still run their business in the midst of the pandemic. And the products are also very useful for preventing the spread of COVID-19. The same thing will also be done in Gerakan Lauk Siap Saji. Here, the ministry cooperates with food entrepreneurs, tourism, micro and small and medium enterprises, and the creative economy in the area to prepare food for those affected, both the tourism community and the creative economy itself and the community at large. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Tourism and Creative Economy, together with the Ministry of Industry and supported by Tokopedia, launched the Gerakan Satu Dalam Kopi campaign. It is a joint effort to advance the Indonesian archipelago coffee while at the same time moving the economy of national coffee industry players to keep rolling amid the COVID-19 pandemic. There is also a free online training program to improve skills and recycling tourism and creative economy practitioners. Minister Wisnu Tama hopes that through these programs, the tourism and creative economy community will be more accommodative and ready to rise together when the pandemic is declared over. That was My Indonesia. I'm Nuka Kusumawati.
Dalam langkah kau pernah sendiri, pencipta pertemukan kita lagi. Amarah ada, laparam sudah, sukacita ada dalam kita. Berlayar menuju tujuan yang telah pasti. Berlabuh untuk satu dalam cinta di sini. Berdua kita arungi kehidupan yang harus dijalani. Terlatih kita dalam kasih, apapun yang terjadi, setia pada janji. Tak usah kau bayangkan lagi, karena kita sudah ada di sini. Percaya saja, jangan ragukan cinta itu ada dalam.
Kehidupan yang harus dijalani.
RRI Was Office, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. In today's edition, we will introduce you to food which is easily found in Banten in the month of Ramadan, namely ketan bintul. Stay tuned. For Banten people, the existence of ketan bintul in Ramadan is a main part which cannot be separated. Even in Banten, there is a proverb that has strongly ingrained, without ketan bintul in Ramadan, it's like in fasting. Ketan bintul is made from sticky rice which is steamed. To get savory flavor, when steaming the sticky rice, it is mixed with grated coconut and a little bit salt. After well done, the sticky rice is put in a plastic container or egg rice sack. Then it is laid on the floor. Then the hot sticky rice is pounded smoothly by using wood pestle whose tip is covered with plastic to avoid being sticky. It should be noted that the sticky rice should not lose its heat, so when being pounded, it can be refined and softened quickly. It needs speed, accuracy, and understanding where the part is not pounded yet. To pound the sticky rice needs at least two persons, one for pounding it and another for flipping the sticky rice in order to get a good result. After it is refined, it is formed square and wrapped by using banana leaf in order to be durable and still looking white. After the sticky rice is done, prepare grated coconut as needed and fried without vegetable oil. If grated coconut is getting brown, set aside for a few minutes, then pulverize it until smooth. Then it is added with sugar and salt. To arouse appetite, we can add some sliced red chili. Fried shallot is also given, separated from the grated coconut. Towards breaking the fast, the ketan bintul is served by sprinkle roasted grated coconut or bintul, red chili, and fried shallot, while being accompanied with a glass of sweet tea or coffee. Surely, this typical food is able to relieve hunger and thirst after all day fasting. It will be more delicious if aided with a thick sauce of semur. Semur is a type of meat stew that is braised in thick brown gravy made from sweet soy sauce, shallots, onions, nutmeg, and cloves. In Ramadan, you can find ketan bintul vendor as long as outskirts of Serang Old Markets. The price is only 1,000 rupiah for 3 pieces of ketan bintul. Listener, if you are in Banten, especially Serang, take your time to enjoy ketan bintul, which is a typical culinary of Banten. That was Indonesian Wonder for today, featuring ketan bintul. We'll meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. See you next time.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Rindu yang tak pernah begitu hebatnya. Aku mencintaimu lebih dari yang kau tahu. Meski kau takkan pernah tahu, aku persembahkan hidupku untukmu. Namun kau
Well, listener, here is miscellany that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back to miscellany. Today, we will inform you about portable ventilator by the nation's children ready to help against corona. Stay tuned with us at www.voinews.id. A ventilator is a breathing aid for people who have chronic disorders of their lungs. The tool is very crucial for now, considering the COVID-19 virus that is becoming a pandemic, attacking the respiratory system and the lungs of sufferers. The need for health support is encouraging Dr. Sharif Hidayat, a lecturer at the School of Electrical and Information Engineering or STEI from the ITB Electric Power Expertise Group, to design a portable ventilator that can help meet the hospital's needs. In fact, there are many portable ventilators in the world, but the amount cannot meet the needs. Plus, the price is quite expensive. In the process of development, Sharif was supported by several lecturers and students of the Faculty of Mechanical and Aerospace Engineering, or FTMD, and Product Design Faculty of Fine Arts, or FSRD, ITB. They collaborated to develop this health support tool to help deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. The machine named VentEye has the main function of delivering air to the lungs to prevent respiratory failure. The device helps the breathing of patients who can still breathe on their own. VentEye is intended for COVID-19 patients in phase 2 clinical symptoms. In other words, it is not intended for patients who have entered the ICU. After passing the comprehensive product testing process from the Health Facility Safety Center of the Ministry of Health of the Republic of Indonesia, VentEye was declared to have passed the product test and is ready to be produced to help hospitals that handle COVID-19 patients. It is expected that the more findings from various universities in Indonesia, the faster the handling of COVID-19 patients. That was miscellany for today. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Dan gelisah menunggu di sini di sudut sekolah tempat yang kau janjikan ingin jumpa denganku walau mencuri waktu berdusta pada guru malu aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding menatapku curiga seakan penutannya sedang apa di sini.
terjawabku. Sungguh aneh tapi nyata, takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Malu, aku malu pada semut merah yang berbaris di dinding. Menatapku curiga, seakan penuh tanya, sedang apa di sini? Menanti pacar jawabku. Takkan terlupa kisah kasih di sekolah dengan si dia. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Tiada masa paling indah, masa-masa di sekolah. Tiada kisah paling indah, kisah kasih di sekolah. Masa-masa kasih di sekolah,
you are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world. In today's edition, we'll present a keroncong song entitled Air Mata Ibu. This original keroncong song tells about how struggling a pregnant mother is to grow up her children. It's a great service of mothers and fathers who take care of their children with love and affection. The song also has a message that the children are not sinful to both their parents. How great the sin is if the children are disobedient to the parents. Since 1962, Subarja has had a career in keroncong music. Consistently, he sang keroncong songs from stage to stage. Subarja also learned keroncong music with Kusbini from 1963 until 1964 and achieved a number of achievements. Listener, here is Subarja with keroncong song entitled Air Mata Ibu. Enjoy the song.
Thank you. lestari.
Of Indonesia.
Mungkin aku bukan.
Voice of Indonesia.
It is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.